If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
There's a special report in the Wall Street Journal the other day, and the headline was, "I really like electric cars. These technologies would make me love them more." So I thought of Tom Appel, and we called him up. Hey, Tom, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
You are with Consumer Guide Automotive. You do a podcast about cars. You write about them. You're expert as anybody around here on electric cars. You saw this piece. In general, did anything jump out at you?
Yeah, there was a little bit of optimism there. There were things like hoping the car would drive itself eventually to a charging station and take care of all the charging automatically, and that's probably some distance away in terms of time. But there were other things on that list that were more interesting and I think realistic. Improved range is some.
You'll get him back. Improved range is some what, Tom? Incidentally, one thing that I'll ask him about is, and they say they've done a pilot of this in Japan, but also in Detroit, and that is for the run of the road, there's like a third rail, and I don't know if it's buried beneath the concrete or it's extended above the concrete, but it charges the car as you go, kind of like slot cars. You never have to, you know, those little toy race car sets you had, you never have to recharge it because it charges as it goes down the road. I don't know if that's a possibility or not, but it's something that they've looked into. So is Tom ready to go? There you are, Tommy. I lost you. Pick it up from the beginning, Tom. We lost you just as you got going.
Yeah, sure. There's some great things on that list, too. One of them was the very optimistic thought that a car would go to a charging station and charge itself, and that's something we're not going to see too soon. But hands-free charging is something that's coming soon. It is possible that the technology already exists. It's just not very efficient for you to pull over a mat or a charger in your garage. You wouldn't have to plug the car in; it would just start charging automatically. So that's a thing that can happen.
What did you call that? Hands-free charging? Did you call it that?
And it would be hands-free, right? Yeah, you wouldn't have to take any active part in it. And you could control it via.
I have
app.
A charger for my phone like that.
Yeah.
Just set it down on top, and you don't have to plug in a cable or anything.
Yeah, inductive charging. And it's a handy thing. We will see it for electric cars. On a more futuristic scale, there's some talk about having the roadway charge vehicles. And while this is technically feasible, it's really expensive. And it's unlikely that we would see that kind of infrastructure spending in Chicago cities. But they're experimenting with it in Europe.
The idea is that it would charge as it goes. The problem is, in the Midwest, the roads are a mess. So whatever the charging mechanism is along the road would probably be a mess too, right?
It probably would be, and the charging system would likely be affected by the same things that affect the concrete itself, which means that their durability would be questionable.
Yeah, and I guess you lose some of the energy in the transfer. Somebody pointed out to me that the idea that you can have your car as a backup power source when the lights go out is already there. Is that right?
It's exciting, yeah. And there are a number of vehicles that have what they call two-way charging or bi-directional charging. Here's the interesting thing. Your typical electric car has something like 80 or 90 kilowatt hours of energy stored in the battery if it's fully charged. A regular household only consumes 25 to 30 kilowatts in normal operation. So your car could technically power your house for 2 days.
Wow. I thought it would just run the fridge for an hour. Wow, that's amazing. Okay. By the way, Tom, what about electric cars relative to the tariffs? What's the latest news about sales, parts, stuff like that?
Yeah, relative to the tariff, it's super confusing, but there are some important things that will affect things almost immediately. And one of them is the import of rare earth materials that come from China. These are used primarily in motors and generators, and they're key to a lot of vehicles. Not every manufacturer has chosen to go with rare earth, but they are more efficient ultimately. But if you double or triple the price of those, that's going to have a huge impact on obviously the cost of building EVs. Plus, General Motors, for example, builds its very popular Equinox EV down in Mexico. Oh. So that's a hassle, too. And then Toyota brings in all its EVs from Japan. So there's a lot. The ripple effect will be massive.
Well, it's a 10% minimum, but I'm not doing a good job of keeping track of where the tariffs are and are not. Some things are exempt. What happens to an electric car made in Mexico that's imported into the United States? What kind of tariff does that get hit with?
Well, at the moment, it gets hit with, I believe it's a 25% tariff on the amount of the vehicle that is not U.S. content, which is a very difficult thing to determine.
Yeah.
The parts come from all over the place. So I'm not entirely sure who's determining these, and I haven't seen numbers yet on how these will impact actual prices.
The word we were hearing was that used electric vehicles were at a premium right now because of the tariffs. I guess used vehicles in general, right? They wouldn't be subject to the tariffs. The new cars will be. So if you want to get a car, either get a new one now or try and get a used one, but anticipating that, the prices of used cars have gone up. Is that true?
Yeah, and this will be very similar to what we saw during the chip shortage as a result of the COVID automotive meltdown, where eventually there will be a huge demand for used cars simply because getting a new car is complicated or too expensive. That said, used Teslas, if you are willing to purchase a Tesla and you're not bothered by the current social climate, used Teslas are an incredible bargain. If you wanted to dip your toe into the electric world,
yeah,
that's not a bad place to go. And they do qualify for the used car credit, the used EV credit.
Go figure. Well, why is it that used Teslas are such a good buy right now?
People, unfortunately, have decided that they don't want to own Teslas, so they're turning them in at record paces. So there's just a huge inventory of them out there, and demand is low. This is especially true of the Cybertruck, but that's sort of a silly separate situation.
Do you like the Teslas? I mean, there seems to be several different competing electric cars out there, Hyundai, et cetera. Do Ford and Chevys have electric cars, and what do you know about them?
Yeah, Ford's most popular EV is the Mach-E, the Mustang Mach-E, and that's a compact crossover. General Motors has launched a bunch of EVs in the last 6 months or so, but they have the Equinox, which starts under $30,000, and they also have the Blazer EV. So
my son was showing me, Tom, you're still there, right?
Yes, I am.
You trailed off at the very end. My son was showing me a video where a guy was extolling the virtues of the Mazda CX-90, which is a hybrid gas-powered but chargeable vehicle. Are you familiar with that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the plug-in hybrid, yeah.
Plug-in hybrid, yeah. What do you think of that?
I have very mixed feelings about plug-in hybrids, and I wish I felt better that I knew that people were plugging them in, because plug-in hybrids are basically hybrids, but they can travel some distance on electric power only, which is great if you're taking advantage of it. Otherwise, you're just hauling around a heavier battery for no good reason. But that said, they work very well, and they tend to cover the range that most Americans drive in a day. So during the week, if you're not traveling any extra distance, you're basically going gas-free. So the system really works, and the big Mazdas are a nice example of that.
The big what? Oh, the big Mazdas, yeah. Yeah, but I thought I read that the distance that you get out of that battery is not the same as you would if it was exclusively an EV, like maybe 50 miles or something. Did I read that wrong?
Yeah, no, that's typically correct. So usually you see 35 to 50 miles for a plug-in hybrid of range, and then it goes to operate like a regular gasoline hybrid engine, whereas EVs are typically closer to 250 to 300 miles.
Yeah, okay. Any last thoughts from you before I let you go, Tom, on the EV front?
No, except that this is a good time to buy one because we don't know the status of the federal tax credit. That could go away at any time, and if it does, obviously it's going to be much more expensive to buy or lease an electric vehicle. So if you're thinking about it, don't rush, but think about doing it soon.
I'm surprised that credit is still there. What's the qualification for that? Does it have to have a certain percentage of it made in the United States? How do you get that credit?
Yeah, it's really complicated, and very few vehicles qualify for the credit for purchase, but all do for lease. It's a very weird commercial car workaround. So your dealer will work with you if you're buying an electric vehicle and you want to lease it, you'll still qualify for the tax credit. But it's very complicated.
Tom Appel, that's why we call you, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. Okay, Tom, we'll let you go. Thanks for your help today.
Thank you.